Morning. Flew all the way from Tenerife, Canary Islands, Spain, to be here today. And I really appreciate the Lord bringing me here safely. And it certainly is a blessing to be at the home church and see all the brothers and sisters. Amen. And I may not have been able to greet everybody, but if I haven't, maybe I can't after the service, or I'm doing it now. So, amen. We've been on the mission field for 15 years. And thank you for all your prayers and your faithful support. And God's been so good to us. We've had ups and downs, but God's enabled us to be faithful and keeping the ministry. So keep praying for us and keep supporting us. We sure would appreciate it. If you have your Bible this morning, let's look in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11. Weren't those songs beautiful this morning? Oh, boy, I tell you what. Just like a little taste of heaven. Yeah. Or a big taste of heaven. Amen. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's great serving the Lord, and it's great to be saved. Amen. And I'll just tell you right off, if you're not saved, if you're here today, and I would imagine most people in here today are saved. They know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, but it's very possible you're here today and you don't know what that word means. You don't know what it means to have God, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit living in your heart. Jesus said a man must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. So you must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to see God, you must be born again. If you're not sure about that, my message has to do with that, but not completely. Today I'm going to be preaching mostly to the Christian, but if you're not sure that you're saved, come up and see me afterwards. I'd love to show you what the Bible says, how much God loves you, and how you can be saved today. And by the way, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. You do have to repent of your sin, though. You have to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ, but we can talk about that. Amen? So please do that if you're not sure you're saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, when I was 20 years old, it's been, I got to count, 45 years ago, Lord, and I thank you for that. I'm not sure what day in November, but it's November 1977, and a day I'll never forget, Lord, and I thank you for that. And thank you that my mom brought me in that gospel track, Lord. And thank you that you saved me, and Lord even called me into ministry, Lord, and I don't deserve that, Lord. I'm nobody, and Lord, we're thankful that you save sinners, Lord. Now, thank you for this church. I pray you bless every person, Lord. I pray you bless every man, woman, child, grandfather, grandmother, aunt, uncle, every person, no matter how old, Lord. Help us to serve you. Help us to do your will, Lord, and help us to care about others and even give them the gospel and be a soul winner, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so can everybody hear me okay? Okay, great. Today I'd like to preach a message on how to be a winner of souls. Amen. How to be a winner of souls. And before I start, I know many of you are already preaching the gospel, and there's many ministries going on in this church. You know, you have a college ministry, you've got nursing home ministries, and you have the Joe Ludice was telling me he goes into hospice three times a week and is ministering to those people in there and giving them the gospel. And the street ministry, door-to-door ministry, missions, and just everything. And thank God for that. Amen. So on one hand today, I would like to encourage people that have a heart to win souls to keep doing so. But maybe there's some people here today that really haven't caught on to the vision of what God wants you to do. So I pray that God would bless you today. And maybe help you to see that God really wants all of us to be preaching, and not only preaching, but to win souls. Amen? And we're going to talk about that today. So the text says in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. So right here, the Bible is saying the fruit of the righteous is like a tree of life. God's using a metaphor. He uses metaphors a lot through Solomon in the Bible, especially here in the book of Proverbs. Just, for example, chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Now, she's not a literal crown, but metaphorically speaking, she's a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Another symbolic meaning here. And you go back to 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is, it's like a tree of life. Now, the Bible says that a sane person. In fact, every person is like a tree. Amen. And over in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a what? He shall be like a tree that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the Bible likens people to trees. The Lord Jesus Christ is the root and the offspring of David. He's the branch. And he was the tree that was human, but the root signifies that he was God. He's eternal, but he came a human being. And we know Jesus Christ came to save the lost. He came to bring forth fruit. And the Bible is telling us here that if you win souls, you're wise. And you think about a tree bringing forth fruit. I remember down in Mexico when we were missionaries in Mexico, and we could eat those pineapples, just luscious pineapples, fresh off the tree, you know. And they were just so juicy, so tender, so good that the juice would just run down your cheeks and all over your shirt, you know. And I can't imagine what the fruit's going to be like in heaven. But the Bible says, brethren, that we are trees of righteousness, and we bring forth fruit. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we're to have the fruit of the Spirit, and how does that come? It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? In most fruit, there's a seed in there. If that seed drops to the ground and germinates, it brings forth a new tree. The other day, I was in Charlotte playing a little bit of golf with my grandchildren, Nathan's kids, and I walked through the trees there, through the woods, and I saw these pine trees. I love pine trees. It's just so beautiful to me. And they kind of picture eternal life, right? They're evergreens. And all on the ground there, there's these little pine trees growing up. Now, I'm not much of a scientist or anything like that, but I do know those pine trees give life to other pine trees. And if you're healthy, you know what? God wants you to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. That's true. He definitely wants us to bring forth the fruit, because if you walk in the Spirit, we should also live in the Spirit. But he also wants us to bring forth other trees, okay? Now, a lot of people, you know, there's all kinds of different ideas about this. So today I would like to just go through and see where God leads us. But I believe God wants everybody to be a soul winner. The Bible says, if you're wise, he that winneth souls is wise. The other day I was in Ohio. We came first in Chicago, then had some time in Ohio. Now we're up here. We're going to Pennsylvania to see Jenny here in a little bit. I went to the Social Security office because I had to have my Social Security number in order to get Ohio license. I'm transferring from New York to Ohio. Sorry about that. Does that mean I'm a traitor? So I didn't have my Social Security, and so I had to go. But, you know, on the way there and the way back, I drove by, you could say, a poor section of town, maybe with some government housing. And I said, maybe the Holy Spirit said, you know, that'd be a good place to do some soul winning, you know. I said, yeah, it probably would be, you know. I just had that feeling in my spirit. So not that Sunday, but the Sunday after that, after church, you know, it was about 2 o'clock. We're there, beautiful day, blue sky, clouds. And God said, Hoover Avenue. That's where I went by. Said, why don't you go to Hoover Avenue and preach the gospel a little bit? I said, yeah, let's go to Hoover Avenue and preach the gospel a little bit. Amen? Let's go fishing on Hoover Avenue. So you don't want to go without praying. Amen? You don't want to go without praying. So I spent a little bit of time in prayer. And I said, Lord, you know, there's not a lot of time in prayer, but I believe you want me to go. I know you love these people, and I pray for them, that you'd open their heart. Lord, I pray you'd bind the devil, because there's a lot of devils over there, you know, and bind the devil in them. Send them 20 miles away. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit, which I have by faith. Amen. And Lord, you can do what you want. And so I went over there and I knocked on some doors, had a great time. And, most of them were black people, and they were so nice and kind and generous. I don't know where they get all this racism stuff, but I don't know, man, but they were the nicest people. I had never met them before. Sir, how you doing? Oh, that's great. How are you? I'm a Christian. That's great, you know. But anyway, I know they're not all that way, obviously. drug traffickers, all that. I ran out of tracks, so I had to go back to the car. And so I went back to the car to get some more Chick tracks. And there's two young men about 19, 20 years old there, right on the sidewalk. And I was thinking, oh, they probably, and this is not how I usually think, they're probably not going to want a track. I don't know why I thought that. That's kind of stupid. But I said, I'm going to give them a track anyway. And so I went over there and gave them a chick track. And I noticed right away, Pastor, that they were humble people. And I started talking. I said, here's a track, tell you about the Lord. And they just stopped what they were talking about, and they were right on me. They were right on me. And the Lord says, okay, there you go, start talking. So I gave my testimony, which is a pretty wild story, and which most of you probably know. I gave him that and told him how I got saved. And I told him a little bit about science and the Bible, you know, to verify the Bible. Man, I told him about the tribulation, what's going to happen. Of course, we're not going to be here. And I said, that's going to happen, and they're going to put this mark on you and the beast and all that. Man. And then I talked about hell. Amen. Talked about hell. And I gave them the gospel. Yeah. And about an hour later, I was finished, and they were still there, every word. And so I just said, okay, Lord, what do I do now? So I said, well, what do you think? And I said, do you want to repent? Or do you want to keep serving the devil? Do you want to keep living in sin? Or do you want God to change you? So we want to repent. We want to repent. So I said, oh, great. I said, you know, you seek the Lord for about a year and I'll come back and see you. I didn't say that. I went to this one church one time, took a visitor. Amen. And he was seeking the Lord. And it wasn't a Baptist. It was over in the Canary Islands. It's good people. You know, a lot of people are good Christians and love the Lord, but they're not necessarily Baptists. And well, we were going to a church just for a while to fill in between our churches and just to get fed a little bit. But it was a Baptist church, but Calvinist church. And so I actually talked to the pastor and said, or he asked me how we're doing, and I was talking about how you should give people a chance at the invitation because they didn't really do that. I wasn't preaching at him. But just so happened, I brought a friend, Nassim, and at the end, Nassim went up to him and said, what do I have to do, you know, basically to be saved? And so he talked to him in the office, and the pastor told him, which is a good thing in a way, he says, you seek the Lord. Just seek the Lord with everything you got. He didn't tell him how to get saved. These are beautiful people. I mean, seriously, good Christians. Some of the nicest people in the world. He came to my house, and we witnessed to him for about an hour, and he asked the Lord to save him. He's already seeking the Lord, man. Just give him the gospel. Seek the Lord. That's what I'm doing. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says he that wins souls is wise. It is true we have to seek the Lord. But some people, that process takes longer than others. Can a person get saved in a short period of time? Yes. The thief on the cross. He says, no, it's not thou that we, somebody help me out, we deserve what we're getting here. But this man done nothing amiss. Yeah. And he looked to the Lord and said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, he had repented. He repented. Maybe he remembered some preaching that John the Baptist gave or that Jesus gave. But God worked in a short period of time. In the book of Matthew, he's blaspheming Jesus Christ. He's making fun of Jesus Christ. And a book of Luke, which is maybe just 5 or 10 minutes later or 20 minutes later, Lord, would you please save my soul? Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When's the last time you had the privilege to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about putting another, you know, a notch on your belt. I'm talking about doing what God said. God said, he that winneth souls is wise. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you haven't sought me for a year. Come on, man. Salvation's a free gift. If you repent and call upon Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. The jailer, you know, heard Paul and Silas singing and praising God. He probably heard the gospel. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that he asked what he had to do to be saved until God sent the earthquake. That put the fear of God in him. Now, the fear of God comes through different ways. The creation, your conscience, and I believe a big way through the Word of God. That's why we need to be preaching the Word of God. Because in a short period of time, you can bring the gospel to somebody, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's a sword, and it's a fiery sword, and it's a hammer, and it's like you sticking that sword in their heart, and going, oh! And the fire and the hammer, that can bring repentance in a short period of time. And that jailer didn't say, what must I do to be saved, until God sent the earthquake. He's in lieu of his life. And because he knows he's going to commit suicide, he says, what must I do to be saved? God's merciful, and God will put fear in somebody, and if they fear God, they'll get saved. But you know what? God uses us as an instrument to put fear into people. Turn to the book of Jude, verse 20. Jude, there's only one chapter, so right before the book of Revelation. Verse 21 is a good one. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, if you're going to be a soul winner, I think you should know the love of God. Now, I know we know it when we get saved, but I mean really seek to know God. Amen? Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to know God. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 3, if we know the love of Christ, that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, to be filled with all the fullness of God in the book of Ephesians. We should seek to know God and how much he loves. You know, and I'll just say this before I read the passage. Well, let's read the passage anyway. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, when I got saved, I was in the hospital. I tried to commit suicide, and finally they brought in these batteries, and they put me to sleep, and they hooked me up and gave me voltage to take the depression away from me, because I really was looking for death. I had no life, like all lost people, but I really knew it. God had revealed that I was just a dead person, a walking dead person, and I didn't like it. I said, if this is all there is, get me out of here. I really sought for death. If I would have had a pistol there, Pastor, I would have pulled it. Thank God I didn't. But you know, somebody loved me. Now, you're going to think I'm going to say God, and that's true. But my mother loved me. Now, my mother wasn't a great, what I would say, theologian or great evangelist, but she was a great person, and she was a Christian. She did grow up in somewhat of a Calvinist church, and I don't hate Calvinists. I love them, but I don't like the doctrine. I have a lot of problems, and I can preach for 2 hours on that. If you don't agree with me, then you can talk to me about it, but I don't agree with a lot of stuff he said. But you know what? My mom loved me. And she wasn't a great evangelist, but she knew I was in deep trouble. She knew I was one step away from death. And she probably didn't know this, but I was one step away from hell. Hey, you know what? If you're going to be a good soul winner, you need to know that people are one step away from death and hell. And you also need to know that God loves them. But you know what? My mother loved me. And she went to the Christian bookstore and said, what can I get my son? And so they gave her a booklet by Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, How to Receive the Spirit. And Pastor, I read that thing through faster than anybody ever read any book. I knew the answer was in there. And I read it. It was a big book. It was like 30 pages. It wasn't just a little tract. And I got to that sinner's prayer. And I repented because what do I have in this life? I'd already repented. I believed the gospel. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He died for my sins, rose from the dead, and I called upon the Lord. And before I could finish that prayer, brother, when I said, Lord Jesus, come, he didn't say come, he came. Woo! Glory to God! I was 20 years old. I was born again, brother.
Yes, sir.
Just like the Bible says. Just like in John chapter 3, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Brother, I saw the kingdom of God that day.
That's right, preacher.
I saw it that second.
Yes, sir.
And you know why I preach it? Because it's real.
That's right.
And if you're not saved in here today, that's what you need. You need to be born again.
Yeah.
And boy, did God come in. And the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you talk about an experience. To me, that's the greatest experience anybody can ever experience. And as a Christian, that's the greatest message you can share. Amen? So we need to believe all the Bible. You need to hate sin, separate from sin. You need to be faithful in church, faithful reading your Bible. We all need to do that. You need to seek the Lord. But I tell you what, if you're not really trying to win somebody into the family, I think you're missing a lot. I think you're missing. And not only that, I think you're sinning because the Bible says to a Christian, a lot of people think, oh, that's just for preachers. Amen? But it's not. Look at our text here. In verse 20, he says, but ye beloved. Now, who is the ye talking to? Verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. It's talking about all the people that are in Jesus Christ. He's talking about every believer. You see that? He's not just talking about the preacher or the missionary. By the way, that is the preacher's job. It's part of the preacher's job. It's part of the missionary's job to be an evangelist and do the work of a ministry. And I believe if a preacher or evangelist is not doing that, he's missing out on a lot of what God told him to do. Just because you're a preacher, that doesn't mean we don't go out and evangelize and try to win souls. No, we need to be doing that. But here's the truth that maybe a lot of you need to get today. In verse 20, but ye, who's the ye? Every Christian preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Verse 1. You see that? The ye is not the pastor of the church. It's not the deacon. It's not the evangelist. The ye is every born-again Christian. But ye, beloved, verse 21, keep yourselves. Who's in yourselves? All the pastors? No, every Christian. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Every Christian should know the love of God. Every Christian should be able to tell somebody by faith, look, God loves you. Amen? Should be able to tell them God loves you, and I do too. And then he says in verse 22, of some have compassion, making a difference. The difference of what? The difference of having a good day? The difference of enjoying your meal? No. What is the context here? And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even a garment spotted by the flesh. He's giving you a comparison. He's saying, of some have compassion, making a difference. But what's the context? The context is salvation. Verse 23, others save. Okay? Now, it's not the fear of the soul winner. It's that you're giving fear to them. Because he's saying, you're going to have compassion on some, and when they see their compassion, they're going to want to get saved. And others, you put the fear of God in them. It's not your fear. It's a fear that you're going to put in them, amen, by the word of God. If you ever study that out, and I don't have time, but just to mention it, I don't even know if I should mention it, but I believe if a person will come to fear God in a true way, that God will save them. And this is the difference between Calvinism and free will. But the Bible says many are called. That means everybody's called to salvation. Many are called and few are chosen. The many that are called, God calls everybody to be saved. The people who fear God, they say, okay, I fear God. I see the creation. I have my conscience. Or I hear a message. I heard a message from a soul winner today. He said, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from God. If I don't get saved, I'm going to go to hell and burn forever and be tortured. I'm afraid. If they come to fear God, God will save them. But you know what? Most people will not fear God, I don't believe, until you give them the sword. That's where we come in. So God told Ezekiel that he's the watchman, and if he did not warn the wicked from the way, and that wicked died and went to hell, he said, I require the blood at your hand. That's responsibility, brothers and sisters. Ezekiel 3, read it when you go home. That's responsibility. Some people say, I need an operation. So Pastor Kim Larry had an operation. And so he's saying, Nikki, I'm going to go in the hospital. I'm going to lay down on the bed. And supernaturally, the surgeon's knife is going to float down out of heaven and cut me open. No, there's a surgeon, soul winner. There's a knife, the word of God. And through those two things, the surgeon has schooling. He has experience. Amen? He's going to do the surgery. God works the same way. God told Ezekiel, if you don't warn the wicked from his way, and he dies and goes to hell, he will go to hell. You understand that? He will go to hell because you didn't warn him from his way. He will go to hell, Ezekiel, but his blood I require at your hand. Amen? He said, others save with fear. Who's he talking about? Who's going to save who? Others are the Christians. The Christians are going to save somebody? No, Calvin went like that. God's going to save them. No, it says others. It says you will save them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know I'm not saying that God is not the one that saves them, but I am saying that he uses you and me, and without us, many people will not get saved. Without the surgeon, without the knife, you're not going to have the operation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's see, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Look at that. Even as the Lord gave to every man. Let's read that again. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But what? Ministers by whom? What does by whom mean? It's a mediator. By which you believe. By whom? How did you get the surgery, Pastor Cameron? Like, what was the doctor's name? By Dr. So-and-so. Yeah. What kind of knife did he use? He used this knife. But ministers by whom ye believe. They didn't believe without the minister. They didn't believe without the minister. But Paul and Apollos, but by ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Yes, God gives the increase. We know that. God convicts, God saves, Jesus died, the Holy Spirit convicts, but he uses the word of God, and he uses you, and he uses me. Ezekiel, if you don't warn the wicked from his way, he will die and go to hell, but it's your fault. That's what the Bible says. Now, I know not everybody's going to get saved. I know that. I work in Spain. We minister in Spain, the Canary Islands. It's kind of tough there. Not everybody you see falls down and says, what must I do to be saved? You know, I worked in the Rochester jail 4 years. We saw thousands of people get saved. Sometimes one, two, three, four a day. You say, well, that's just jailhouse religion. Yeah, right. And maybe it was for some of them. But the director of the jail ministry got saved in prison, Harry Green, and he got discipled. He became the head of an international jail ministry where thousands of people got saved. There's all kinds of jail ministries that people got saved in jail. Brother Spurgeon, who's an evangelist, right? He got saved in jail, right? And how long has he been preaching? 30 years or something? He should have been spending the rest of his life in prison for all the things he's done. That's jailhouse. God will save you. Amen. If you repent of your sin and trust and call upon it, he'll save you. Now you're a baby Christian. Now what happens afterwards? It depends on a lot of prayer and helping out. He's got to, you know, not everybody climbs to the top. But then they get mixed up, say, well, he must not be saved. He got that sin in his life. Must not be. He never got saved. Well, maybe not. But I bet 9 out of 10 do. So, anyway, I'm going to tell you a story. So, I was in Kentucky, and I just preached. I don't know if I finished here or not. There's other things I should have said, but that's basically it. Paul said, you know, I planted a seed, and Paul's watered, and God gave the increase. But what happens if you don't plant a seed? Is it going to come up? You want a corn stalk. Right. If you don't plant a seed, you're not getting any corn, bro. Right. Right. The Calvinist says, no, we just watch it and God will do it all. Don't you dare do anything. No, man, you got to plant the seed. You got to water the seed. That's you. That's you. You got to pray. Maybe you need to fast. Huh? Maybe you need to love God enough to say God loves you and I care about you. Some have compassion, making a difference of what? Their soul. And others say with what? Fear. Pulling them. Who's pulling? God? No. You're pulling them. Don't change the Bible. You're pulling them. God's using you through the Word, the Holy Spirit, and he's pulling them out of the fire. So I was going to tell you a story about, I was in Kentucky one time, and this was, I can't remember the exact year because we were missionaries in Mexico and also in the Canary Islands. I get mixed up on what deputation I was doing when. But anyway, I was in Kentucky one time visiting a church, and it was kind of strange because I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and I took a throat lozenge. We had a little tickle cough, and the lozenge, I must have found in my pocket, probably been in about 3 years. And so I put it in my mouth, and that made me lose my voice. I mean, by the end of the sermon, I was almost hoarse. And I think it was that throat lozenge. But anyway, we got to the gas station, and we're going to another church. And so we're putting gas in there. I remember Hannah was with me for sure, and I can't remember who else. But I can't hardly speak. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to preach at this church tonight. And I called the pastor up, and all right, I'm over here at the gas station. I'm going to try to preach, but I don't know if I can. He says, okay, just do what you can. That's how bad it was, really. And so I'm going to pull the car up to get gas, and I get out of the car, and I see this young man, I don't know, 20 years old or so, long hair. He's walking, and the highway is right there, like, you know, maybe 100 yards from the gas station. And I can't talk, and these trucks and cars are going by making all kinds of noise. And here's this teenager. He's walking towards the highway, and he's probably about 20, 30 yards from me. And I go, hey, 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 with everything I can. Hey. He turned around finally. I'm serious, about 20 or 30 yards. I don't even know how he heard me. He turned around, and we walked halfway. We met each other. You say, do you know the guy? No. Never met him in my life. I don't even know why I yelled at him. I say, this guy is really crazy. I think I was led by the Lord. So we meet halfway, and I say, hey, I wanted to give you a gospel track. And of course, I can't remember the whole conversation, so I'll just paraphrase it. But it turned out I started witnessing to him, and it turned out he was kind of looking for God. He said, you know, it's amazing, but I was thinking about God and that I needed God in my life. And but I didn't have my New Testament with me, but I had witnessed to him. I said, and then we walked down to the gas station, and we're in the parking lot. And so I said, Hannah, bring me my New Testament. Amen. Hannah's in the car. I said, bring me the New Testament. She brings the New Testament. And here we are. And this is a big gas station. It's like 10, 12 pumps. It's not just a small country gas station. It's one of those where people are coming and going. And we're right in the middle of the parking lot. And I get out my New Testament. And I'm showing him how to get saved right there in the parking lot. And he's on every word of it. Amen. And I give him the gospel. And we're there about at least 15, 20, maybe 25 minutes, I don't know. And I remember showing him Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall, not maybe, shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And his eyes just kind of went, whoa. Understand by like that, his eyes just, he saw it. I said, have you ever told a lie? He said, yeah. I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to hell. I said, you want to repent? You want to repent and get saved? He said, yeah. So I said, okay, I'll see you later. Just seek the Lord about 5 years and maybe he'll save you. I don't believe that, man. That's wrong. That's wrong. If the guy wants to get saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So guess what we did? I said, you know what? Let's get down on our knees. Right there in the middle, gas station people coming up, pumping gas, paying. We get down. And I prayed with him, and he called upon the Lord to save him. He said, well, I don't think he got saved. I think he did. He wrote me back later and said, thanks for preaching to me. He said, I'm saved. I'm going to church. And I sent him a Bible. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Do you know the Bible says, brother, that the angels rejoice in heaven over every sinner that repents? They do. And God rejoices. You know, if you're going to be a soul winner, you need to know that God loves every single person. Amen. Amen. I won my grandmother. It was the first person I led to the Lord at 102 years old in a nursing home. It was right after I got saved. I said, Grandma, you need to get saved. She said, well, I've been in the Lutheran church 40 years, and if anybody's going to heaven, I am. I was a deacon, this and that and the other. But she knew she was getting close. I said, Grandma, you need to be saved, and you're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus did. And she got saved. Amen. And I could tell you quite a few stories, and I'm sure you could too. But the point is, God wants to use you and me to win people to the Lord. You know, if you go fishing, and you say, I'm going to go fishing, and your wife says, well, where's the bucket that you're going to put the fish in? Oh, I'm probably not going to catch anything. Where's your bait? Oh, I'm not a very good fisherman. Why are you going? Well, you can go to have fun, and that's okay. But you can do that sitting out in a lawn chair. Most people will go fishing because deep down, they believe they're going to catch a fish. Amen? I remember the very first fish I caught when I was a kid, 10 years old, on vacation with a friend, neighbor of mine, wasn't saved. I was up on a big cliff, and my pole went all the way down. I caught a little fish about like that, but I was so excited. Amen? I was so excited. Have you ever led a soul to Christ? It is so exciting. Those two guys I was talking with on Hoover Avenue, about halfway through, it was like, I think these guys got the hook. Woo! I said, Doug, don't blow it. I say, Lord, it's all yours. It's all his anyway. We're just instruments. We're nothing. We're nothing, but God's going to use you if you want. And, you know, when they got saved, I believe they really got saved. You see the guy's face change. I said, you got saved, did he? I said, you got the peace of God? He said, yeah. I gave him a big hug and a holy kiss right on the cheek. Black guy. We're in the same family. You want a charge? That's a charge. I hugged the other guy, too. And then later on, I went back, and three boys got saved 2 days later. I think I'd like to go back there. You know what? Maybe if you're not catching any fish in one fishing hole, maybe you need to go to another fishing hole. Amen? God told Paul, you know, the Jews have rejected you. He says it's time to go to the Gentiles. Amen? I've got a lot more things I could say and would like to say, but I'm preaching it. Nathan's church tonight, Trinity, so maybe that'll be part two if you'd like to come and hear it, okay? But Pastor, would you come, and we're going to have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart, you know, God wants everybody to be a soul winner, not just the pastor and the preacher, not just the evangelist. And you know what? Just let me say this. It'll change your life. I was so happy that day I went home. It's like, you know, when a lady has a baby, right? She's happy. And she tells everybody about it. Look at my baby. Takes pictures of it. A lot of times you tell somebody, you know what? Two people got saved today. Oh, good. What are we having for dinner? I'm thinking, oh, Lord help us. Amen. Right. Give it the invitation.
Two great illustrations. Fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't catch fish one day, you go back the next day.
Right.
I fish.